Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right. It's the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's so glad to have you people back here with us, because I am joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer. And just to let you know how much we love you, we have taken time out of building the addition onto our goat house to do the program for you. And we do much appreciate you being here, and I hope you appreciate the sacrifice that we're willing to make for you. That's what it takes, right? It's a team effort, folks. All right, now, I'm going to start the show with the lowest form of radio humor and material, reading other people's jokes. Now, normally, I would never do that. I hate reading other people's material, but my mom sent this to me, and I actually laughed out loud. Now, I didn't send her a little LOL back, because I just don't do that, but I read it, and I had to laugh, and I figured you'd probably laugh too, and even though it's the lowest form of all radio or television material, reading other people's jokes, you know, like Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert, all right. Who are the other guys? Anyways, all right, but this is in the vein of Jeff Foxworthy. Do you remember back in the day when Jeff Foxworthy had his bit? You might be a redneck if your porch collapses and more than five dogs die, you might be a redneck. Y'all remember that, right? So this is in the Jeff Foxworthy vein. It may have been written by Jeff Foxworthy. It may just be somebody imitating Jeff Foxworthy. It could even be my mom. I mean, she's been known to crack a joke or two over the years. But Jeff Foxworthy says, "Now, if you grow and refine heroin for a living, but you have a moral objection to liquor, well, you might be a Muslim." That's right. "If you own a $3,000 machine gun, a $5,000 you can't afford shoes, you might be a Muslim. If you have more wives than teeth, you might be a Muslim. If you wipe your butt with your bare hand, but you consider bacon to be unclean, you might be a Muslim. If you think vests come in two styles, bulletproof and suicide, you might be a Muslim. If you're amazed to discover that cell phones have uses other than setting off roadside bombs, you might be a Muslim. And if you have nothing against women, and you think every man should own at least four of them, you might be a Muslim," he said as his audio engineer actually fell asleep. It's the lowest form of all humor. I apologize. I'm sorry. I thought my mom's... Now, I generally don't even acknowledge emails that are forwarded to me that have been forwarded to at least 400 other people. Generally, I don't even acknowledge them. But I thought it was funny. It put my extremely attractive audio engineer to sleep, and so that was the bad decision right off the top. That's okay. Folks, you'll forgive me because I'll make a great comeback. I promise, okay? Let's start with, well, let's go to the science, really, file, and we check in with Stephen Hawking as he deteriorates further and further into a death spin of insanity. He's in the Mirror over in London. As reported by the Mirror newspaper, or is it even a newspaper anymore? We'll just say it's a news outlet. I don't know that anybody has a newspaper anymore. But from the Mirror news outlet, Stephen Hawking, who is a world-famous physicist, a theoretical physicist, he might be an actual physicist. Anyway, Stephen Hawking says, "If aliens visit us, the outcome could be much like when Columbus landed in America, which didn't turn out well for the natives, you remember?" He says such advanced aliens would perhaps become nomads, looking to conquer and colonize whatever planets they can reach. Now, he says he's done the math, says physicist Stephen Hawking. He's done the math, and he says the existence of aliens is beyond doubt. He says, to my mathematical brain, the numbers alone make thinking about aliens perfectly rational. The real challenge is to work out what aliens might actually be like. And that's what Stephen Hawking is spending his days and evenings doing now. Pondering what aliens might be like, and he's scaring himself half to death. This was an interview in El País, which I believe is a French newspaper. L-P-A-I-S, with the I has the little accent. El País, either Spanish or French. I know, I'm an American, I only speak English. A little bit of Spanish, tiny bit of Japanese, and two or three phrases in Tagalog. But just two or three, that's it, that's all I got. Yeah, one or two in German, one or two in French, that's all. You know, I apologize to you people. El País. El País, maybe, is the name. He also explained, physicist Stephen Hawking, that the best chances for the survival of the human race is to find a new home on another planet. That's right. He's looking for aliens right now. You know, he's been hired by U.S.-based Russian billionaire Yuri Milner to just sit and listen for stray radio signals that might be interpreted as signals from intelligent life out there. So this Russian billionaire is keeping Stephen Hawking busy, spinning his wheels, listening for aliens. And Stephen he's 73 years old now. He looks fantastic. Look, Steve, you look awesome. Wow. Must be working out. Let's see. Stephen Hawking said at a recent meeting of the Royal Society in London, he said, somewhere in the cosmos, perhaps, intelligent life may be watching these lights of ours, aware of what they mean. Yes, Stephen, they're sending out signals, Morse code or something like that. And Stephen is convinced that indeed they may be watching us. Does he really think he's that interesting, right? That I think personally, if there are aliens, which I absolutely believe there are not, and nor shall we ever find any intelligent life anywhere outside the planet Earth. But if there were, they're probably not that interested in us. At least not me personally. I'm kind of a boring guy. But there is extraterrestrial life, as a matter of fact. There is the living God outside the universe, and he's interested in each and every one of us individually, and he's able to give us his complete and full attention at all times, if we let him. He's not forced to watch us because, I mean, some of us down here are doing some absolutely horrible and disgusting things. For example, he probably tuned me out about the third Jeff Foxworthy joke. He tuned that one out. But is he watching Professor Hawking, Stephen Hawking, and his lights and all that? I don't know. I kind of doubt it. I think God stopped listening to Stephen Hawking quite some time ago. Yeah, but not that he wouldn't listen again if Steve was wanting to open up the lines of communication. All right. Now, we're going to talk about the big stories of the week because, well, this school shooting up in Oregon, it actually shocked me. I opened up my computer at a fast food restaurant as I was out on the road, hustling, working, just trying to make a living. I had a brief moment to stop, sit, not drive, and eat. I opened up my laptop, jumped and looked at the news, and I saw this, and I actually said, oh, and the people next to me, like, they looked at me because I was actually stunned. So unlike Barack Obama, I'm not numb to it. He's numb to it. He told us we were numb to it, but he's just projecting because he's numb to it. I'm not numb to it. I was shocked. Yes, I gasped verbally. People heard me gasp in the restaurant. We're going to get to that, but I want to talk about a few other. We're also going to get to Russia's ascension to. Now, I said, if you've been listening to this show for some time, I said, somebody is going to step forward. because ISIS is just, it's too much, out of control, terrifying, Nazi-esque, end of the world type stuff, that some world leader is going to step forward and make quite a career for himself on the back of destroying ISIS. And I think at the time I may have had Putin in my top three guys who were likely to do that. And sure enough, he's doing that. And we're going to talk about those things, those two stories, because those are, in my mind, the most important stories of the week. But I want to start at the Oscars. The Best Picture nominations are out. That's right. It's time for Oscar. Whenever you do Hollywood-type reporting, you have to have the lisp. Because all of the entertainment reporters are either women with too much plastic surgery or homosexual men. Well, this year, the Best Picture nominations include, well, one of the leading nominations is a movie about 90 pedophile priests. Another, that's right, that's just, we're just getting started, sweetheart. Next is a love story about two lesbians set in the 1950s. Then, third, for the Oscar, a hippie grandmother pot-smoking lesbian who's trying to help her granddaughter raise enough money for an abortion. That's, yes. No, we're not giving the names of the movies. We're just giving you the highlights, folks. The fourth movie that I'm recognizing is all about a man who becomes a woman. And finally, there are a few other potential Best Picture nominations that don't involve any gender issues at all, but we won't be mentioning those, will we? Anyway, this year's Oscars is full of, well, the headline on Showbiz 411, Oscar nominees, lesbians, transgenders, pedophile priests.
You went to Showbiz
411. Showbiz 411. I didn't go there. Drudge lives there. He's got a link almost every day to that lisping.
Oh my gosh.
Well, when I saw the headline that there's a that basically was going to outline what the Oscars are about this year, I had to wade into the cultural rot just so that I could report it to you people. All right, I could care less. I haven't watched a movie since 1990. No, I did. I watched a movie in 2005. I watched, the last movie I watched was Expelled with all those guys. Anyway, that I haven't watched a movie in close to 10 years, so I could care less. Meanwhile, so there's your Oscars. Art is a reflection of life, and our culture is circling the drain, and the Oscars reflect it. Meanwhile, we'll go to the bad religion file. The bad religion file, he said. Yes, the Pope. You all heard that the Pope met with Kim Davis, the clerk who was not issuing licenses and then not issuing them to homos. And then she said, I won't issue them. I won't put my name on them. And then her lawyer gave her some terrible advice after she was thrown in jail. Her lawyer got her out of jail. Gave her terrible advice, told her that he could help her with a bureaucratic workaround her conscience so that homosexual licenses are now being issued, but she's somehow not responsible because her name's not on them. And the one thing the lawyers have vowed to do is to raise money and employ lawyers and fight this battle for as long as it takes. And so she got bad advice from her lawyer, but now it's even worse. It looks like the Pope met with her. So she... Talk about a poor child who just doesn't know where to turn. Kim Davis is 0 for 2. First she goes to the lawyers over at Liberty Council, and now she's meeting with the Pope, bound to get terrible advice from the Pope. He did meet with her. Now, the Vatican is somewhat backing off, saying, we only met for a couple of minutes. We didn't even want to meet with her. We were basically tricked into meeting with her, and after we met with her, we basically regretted it. That's the pontiff says that, says one of his spokesmouths. So they're throwing her under the bus already. But CNN's reporting that the day before Pope Francis met with Kim Davis, he met with an open homosexual who brought his partner and gave the Pope a hug. Yes, there's a video of the meeting that shows a pile of homos around Francis, and he's hugging one of them. And that's supposedly this fellow Yayo Grassi. An open, flaming homosexual brings his boyfriend slash partner slash wife slash husband, whatever you call him these days, and the Pope gives him a hug. Interesting background on this story is that Pope Francis taught this homo literature and psychology classes back in college, back in the early 60s. And Grassi went and met the Pope, got the hug, even though he says he's a self-proclaimed atheist. But he likes the Pope because, well, the Pope's never been judgmental. He's never said anything negative. And I finally got that hug I always wanted going back to college days. That guitar player before he falls off the edge of the stage. Grab that guy and bring him back. All right. We could just let that go on. We've got to get back to the news of the day. A lot of important news. All right. We've covered the Pope and the homos. And let's go to Bill Nye landing us once again in the science. Really? File. This is Bill Nye talking personhood. This is also in the... This is actually in the personhood file, but whenever I see Nye's name, I can't help it. You all know Bill Nye. We used to watch him. Well, I didn't, but I think your kids maybe watched him when they were in third grade because sometimes Bill Nye can impress a third grader with his drug-addled shtick that he does. Well, he addressed personhood. He says that people who support the personhood of zygotes and embryos don't know what we're talking about. He did a video back on September 22nd for an outfit called Big Think, whatever that is, Big Stink. Bill Nye explained, according to Media Matters, which is where I got this story. I got a story from MediaMatters.org? I can't believe it. Anyway, what can you do? There it is. By the way, this story is pumping up Bill Nye's theories about when life begins against abolitionists like myself. Personhood supporters who believe that wherever we draw the line for the beginning of life, it better be early enough that we don't actually kill someone because I don't want to answer to God for that. So I've drawn it at the moment of fertilization or its functional equivalent, the biological beginning. I think that's reasonable. When is that, you ask? Are you able to define that, Doug? You're not a scientist. How about the moment the ovum determines that it has accepted a specific sperm by sending out an electrochemical signal causing it to reject all other sperms? How about we draw it there? All right? If you don't want to draw it there, you stand over there, okay? Because I don't really want to be near you when the judgment of God falls down on your head if you're wrong. Hey, if you're not sure when life begins, why not be very careful about it? And in my opinion, even if you're a heathen, a moral heathen would be against killing babies, stomping on puppies, setting kittens on fire. I mean, it's just fundamental humanity for crying out loud. But Bill Nye says, we don't know what we're talking about. He says the majority of anti-abortion legislation is derived from outdated beliefs that predate smart science. Smart science, said Bill. Those beliefs predate smart science by 50 centuries. So those of us who believe that every unborn child is a person from the moment that they begin, we're 500 years behind. No, 50 centuries, 5,000 years behind. That's pretty bad. He says arguments behind legislative personhood reflect a deep scientific lack of understanding. A scientific lack of understanding. That's how bad it is. It's a lack of understanding so sophisticated that it's considered a science. It's a scientific lack of understand. Maybe that's just poor grammar on the part of the editor. We won't blame Bill for that. He says, listen to how he opens up his argument against the fact that life begins at the beginning. Nye says, quote, Many, 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 many more hundreds of eggs are fertilized than become humans, he says. First of all, when a scientist starts out a sentence with many, 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 if you have four or more qualifiers, you've disqualified yourself as a rational scientific person, okay? But he says many more hundreds of eggs are fertilized to become humans. He says, but that's not all you need. Not just the fertilization of the egg, says science genius and third grade puppeteer Bill Nye. No, that's not all you need. You have to attach to the uterine wall, the inside of a womb, a woman's womb. But if you're going to hold that as a standard, that is to say, if you're going to say that when an egg is fertilized, it's therefore has the same rights as an individual, then whom are you going to sue? I can't make heads nor tails of that statement, but I want to give Mr. Nye, I want to give him an opportunity to express himself. He says, whom are you going to imprison? Every woman who's had a fertilized egg pass through her? Every guy whose sperm has fertilized an egg that didn't become a human? If all these people failed you, it's just a reflection of a deep scientific lack of understanding. You literally, or apparently literally, don't know what you're talking about. Literally or apparently literally. Just to be clear, says Bill Nye. All right. So if you've listened to the show, you've heard my arguments about this. We know that half or more of all fertilization events, half or more, do not end in a live birth. We know that. How that relates to whether or not it was a person, well, let's take that up with God in the next life, Mr. Nye. And when we do, I'm going to ask you to please stand way over there. Because all those people who you say were not people, they're going to be there, Bill, and they're going to judge you, and they're going to pull the lever and send you on a greased pole with a jet rocket straight to hell, Bill Nye. All right. So that with National Review Online then published a guest op-ed co-authored by Princeton University jurisprudence professor Robert George and Franciscan University of Steubenville philosophy professor Patrick Lee. And I was going to quote these guys, maybe I will. These are all my arguments, but these guys are PhDs and professors, so maybe you'll listen to them. They say, Nye's video, this is the interview, is so breathtakingly arrogant and incompetently argued that it's hard to know where to begin in criticizing Mr. Nye. He opens by saying, many, 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 many more hundreds of eggs are fertilized than become humans. Eggs get fertilized, and by that I mean sperm get accepted by ova a lot. That's what Bill Nye actually said. The professors say the fact he's pointing out here, the high rate of pre-implantation spontaneous abortions, estimates range from 45 to 70%, some even higher, is the only bit of science Nye ever mentions in the video. But he thinks one can infer from it that a human being does not come to be until the embryo implants in the uterine wall. The sperms joining the ovum is not all you need, remember, Nye said. You have to attach to the uterine wall. Inside of a woman, a woman's womb, a womb, a woman's womb. Now, the professors say, admittedly, embryology is not the field in which Bill Nye, the science guy, was trained. He allegedly studied engineering. I'd have to fact check that. They say, but the basic facts of human embryogenesis and early development are not difficult to discover, and they're not in dispute. So, hey, Bill, we encourage you to look at the facts. Clearly, implantation, when the embryo attaches itself, himself or herself, by the way, they say sex is determined from the very beginning. When the embryo attaches himself or herself to the uterine wall of a mother's womb, it's only an important stage in the life cycle of the already living and internally self-directed growth of a human being. This stage does not create any fundamental change in the direction of growth of the embryo. From day one, the embryo has been preparing for this interaction. The uterus provides a suitable environment, nutrition, and disposal of waste, but not a new program or instructions for a new trajectory of growth. The instructions for his or her full self-development to the mature stage of a human organism have been preset within the embryo's genetic and epigenetic constitution from the zygote stage, day one, Bill Nye. the zygote stage is day one. National Review Online, where they utterly rebut. And now Media Matters went on for a couple pages more trying to dispute what these doctors said. But it's not even worthy of a mention because it's not science. It's all emotion. And in fact, it's pagan religion is what it is. They're guided by either their alleged atheism, which is impossible, by the way. You can't be an atheist. But they claim to be atheists. Atheists are self-delusional. They practice a religion in which they worship themselves as God. And so they have a God. But anyway, the rest of it is just so much claptrap. I'm not even going to give it the significance of mentioning it on this worldwide broadcast that affects literally tens, if not hundreds of thousands, perhaps even millions of people every week. It's just not worthy. All right. Now, more from the personhood file. The House of Representatives has passed a government funding bill, a short-term funding bill, funding Planned Parenthood so they can continue to butcher children, chop up their body parts, and sell them to the highest bidder. Yes, the funding of Planned Parenthood, along with the rest of the government, a bunch of corrupt pedophiles, freaks, thieves, liars, and creeps. Did I mention that they fund Planned Parenthood as well? Yes. The vote was carried by Democrats 277 to 151, but a bunch of Republicans voted with them. How many? I thought I had that marked up in this story. But you know what? I think maybe I didn't care. They've decided to fund the government and all of its nefarious activities through December, and the funding of Planned Parenthood, they say, has angered conservative Republicans. They're angry. Why are they angry? Why would the Republicans shouldn't be angry. This is a fundraising opportunity that started the day they passed this bill until December. They could probably raise $5-10 million just on this issue alone. We're going to fight. We're going to defund. We're going to defund Planned Parenthood. But we need your help. You've got to help me get elected so I can go up there and fight, fight, fight. 186 Democrats voted in favor. 151 Republicans voted against it. 91 Republicans voted for the short-term funding measure, as if I cared. I don't care. Moving the funding deadline forward. Breitbart reports that they've moved it forward a couple of months, and it sets up another funding battle. Funding battle. I think it's set up another fundraising cycle for the Republican Party, who have found the issue of murdering children an extremely effective fundraising vehicle. And they've been doing it for about 40 years, raising massive amounts of money, telling us how they're going to help to defend the right to life, while a million or so innocent people are butchered every year. And at least 2 million parents become murderers every year. Right? How many grandparents are involved in the killing of that child? How many cousins, friends, employers, nephews, nieces, brothers, sisters? Pretty soon, everybody's been involved, except the very, very few. There are very few people living in America today who have never been involved in killing an innocent child, whether with knowledge or without knowledge, been involved. And the problem is, sexual immorality. The legalization of fornication and adultery and the general acceptance that sexual immorality is legal leads to all this bloodshed. If we had some shame, we wouldn't have been involved. If we'd have had some shame growing up, and if we hadn't been encouraged by the pop culture and the public schools to fornicate like mink, it wouldn't have led to all this bloodshed. But almost all of us have some blood on our hands, whether we know it or not. And we'll find out on Judgment Day. And that's why it's important that you repent of that sin, all of your sins, but that sin in particular, in this life, before you get to Judgment Day, because on Judgment Day, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. All right. Now, speaking of funding Planned Parenthood, I know how shocked we all were when we saw those videos. Now, listen to this. From Catholic.org, a former prisoner, Abo Rita, reported surgeons for the terror group ISIS are removing organs from prisoners and selling them on a black market. Captives' blood is also regularly drawn to treat wounded ISIS fighters. And those prisoners who are not able to donate organs are subject to daily torture in Raqqa, Syria, the headquarters of ISIS. ISIS is using their prisoners as a blood bank and as an organ donor bank. They remove organs such as kidneys and corneas from the prisoners and sell them on the black market or actually have them surgically implanted into their people. Dozens of bodies with surgical incisions and missing body parts have been found in shallow mass graves near Mosul in Iraq, and doctors who refused to harvest organs were murdered. So that's what ISIS is doing. They are the modern-day equivalent of Mengele on steroids running wild in the Middle East, and they terrify all of us as we look into the eyes of demons from hell. And what they're doing in the Middle East to their enemies is what our government is funding in your neighborhood right down the street at a Planned Parenthood clinic near you. ISIS butchers their enemies, takes their body parts. Planned Parenthood and the Republicans and the Democrats and the proctocracy, they butcher innocent children, our innocent children and grandchildren, and harvest their body parts and sell them off. I mean, I'm not a big believer in the blood moon and all that stuff. I watched it. It was really great. I don't know if there is such a thing as a harbinger of destruction or disaster or judgment, but I can tell you that I get the feeling, seeing what I'm seeing and knowing what I know and what I see we're participating in, when I can compare the House of Representatives to ISIS, it's going to be a long, dark October. Don't get sad. Don't be depressed. That's a depressing song. Anyway, that was, it's from the 90s. Of course, music to shoot heroin and your teacher by. The 90s grunge. Thank you very much. All right. Should I do Marco Rubio quickly? Because I want to get to the school shootings.
We need to laugh.
Yeah, we need a chuck. Well, this isn't... Anyway, and normally if we just had some video of Marco Rubio, we would laugh because he looks like Bozo the Clown. He looks like a clown, makeup stripped off, but he's still bumbling, stumbling around. Anyway, Marco Rubio has stated now that he supports the morning after pill as a way to prevent abortions. What a genius this guy is. This story is from the International Business Times, where they do note that emergency contraception, also known as the morning after pill, which Marco Rubio came out and cheered for this past week, emergency contraception can keep a fertilized egg from implanting in the uterus. So we already discussed this earlier in the show. We know that there is nothing new that happens to an embryo when it implants in the uterus. It's an important event, but it's already, the person is already a boy or a girl. So, and Marco Rubio knows this. He knows that emergency contraception can keep a fertilized egg from implanting in the uterus. How do I know he knows this? Because when he was nobody and nothing, running for office down there in Florida, and nobody knew who he was because he's just an ignorant child, friends of mine helped him get elected. Friends of mine worked hard for him and gave him money because he gave us lip service that he was going to support personhood in Florida, and then he threw us under the bus, stabbed us in the back. grabbed for a bottle of water, and ran for the White House. Marco Rubio, I'm officially done with you. Should I give the quote? I'm just going to say, he says, I support the morning after pill being available over the counter, and I support them being made available immediately for rape victims so that we can kill that little girl because her father was a rapist. I added to Marco Rubio's unintelligible. That's a scientific lack of knowledge that Marco Rubio has. Yeah, him and Bill Nye, right? Greased pole, jet rockets, straight to hell together. Well, here's the thing about Marco Rubio. He claims to be some kind of Christian or some kind of Catholic. But when you know something is true and then you do the opposite for political gain, I have a hard time believing that you actually love the living God and have a relationship with him. I find it hard to believe that you can look Jesus Christ in the eyes when you pray at night, when you celebrate and actually participate in the most evil and vile corruption on the planet that corrupts other people. All right. Now, reason number 996 to keep or get your children out of the government schools, they may be shot and wounded. Yeah, a shooting happened in Harrisburg, Idaho. Did anybody remember this? Hardly, right? There was another school shooting. This was at a high school, Harrisburg High School in Idaho. Their top administrator was wounded. An assistant football coach tackled the teenage shooter and held him down until police arrived. Students returned to class the next day. I'm surprised they even closed the school down. Just mop up the blood and get on with it. Give the kids their condoms and their bananas and let's finish the class. Well, it's the public schools. All right. So I think mentioning the fact that kids can be shot and killed at school, we can't keep using that as a reason. I think that was reason number 667 when we first started the list. Because there was already an existing, well-documented catalog of 666 reasons to keep or get your kids out of the government schools. And we've been adding to that list, and I think I use shooting. Anyway, it's not really official, and it's not exactly scientific. We have some creative license here because we're really trying to make a point is what we're trying to do, along with reporting the news. From the culture of death file, we go to NBC News. The killer down in Oregon, by the way, let me just say to the sheriff there, and I don't care what this sheriff has ever said or done in the past. I don't know who he is. I don't know nothing about him. Sheriff John Hanlon, Douglas County Sheriff in Oregon, he said at the press conference, I will not name the shooter. I will not give him the credit he probably sought prior to this horrific and cowardly act. You will never hear me mention his name, said the sheriff. I wanted to stand up and cheer. He then said, we encourage the media to avoid using it. And CNN cut away from him and immediately started saying the guy's name. And as soon as they got a picture of him, they put a picture of him up. And then when they got pictures of him with a gun and looking sexy in the shadows with the rifle, they put it all up for the next 2 days. So they didn't listen to the sheriff. But I'm hoping this sheriff has set a precedent that people in the media will pay attention to. And we should all stop mentioning these people. Their names should be blotted out from all of history. Their family should be ashamed for four generations when this happens. And we should never mention their names. And I will never mention this guy's name. I will never mention the name of another one of these people. If there's no good reason to do it. I'm not saying there's never a good reason to do it. I'm saying we should stop giving them what they want, which is to be famous. What's going on in the world that people are willing to slaughter their fellow human beings to be famous? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. All right, but thank you to the sheriff. Now let's talk a little bit. Here's what I will say about this punk piece of garbage who said he left a note. In the note, he said that he would be welcomed in hell and embraced by the devil. All right, I'll give you that, son. He lamented the fact that he didn't have a girlfriend. He said he had no life. He felt the whole world was against him. Acquaintances described him as a withdrawn young man who spent a lot of time on the internet. He says he was not religious. He had 13 weapons all purchased legally. Investigators said it was too soon to identify a motive. Okay? I can tell you the motive is that he's living the life of an average young person in America today. The godless, directionless life of the average American teenager. And for some who are on the fringes and on the edge, they're not mentally all there. I mean, for some, that lifestyle drives them to insanity and to do crazy, horrific things for which they must be killed. By the way, he killed himself. One more thing I want to say about this punk. He enlisted in the army and washed out of boot camp in just over a month. He was discharged for failing to meet the minimum standard to serve. That's all I'm going to say about that punk. I hope he rots in hell. I'll say that too. And Barack Obama, you son of... I'll tell you what. When he stood up there and he said, "We," said Barry, "are collectively answerable to those victims and their families when we allow this to happen." When he stood up and said that, I said, "Barry, you're talking about yourself. How dare you say that about me? Because I own weapons legally. How dare you say that about me when you're talking about yourself?" But he said he's going to politicize it. All right. You want to politicize it, Barry? Let's argue, you piece of garbage. I'm going to tell you why. Everyone wonders the gun-free zones thing. I hear the conservatives this week on the radio talking about the fact that, why is it that liberals think that gun-free zones are so great? I just don't understand these liberals. I don't understand these liberals with their gun-free zones. Well, I'm going to explain it to all you people, all right, including the so-called alleged conservatives on the radio, who to me sound more and more stupid every day. It's as if they're literally not willing to offer the solutions to the problem because they make their living talking about the problems. So gun-free zones exist, Mr. Hannity, because if you're an atheist, which that's the whole government is officially atheist. Did you know that, Mr. Hannity? Did you understand that, Mr. Levin? Who else? Who's the other, the moronic lawyer who, I can't stand him. He hosted a debate recently. I can't believe he's on the radio. Oh, gosh, yeah. I can't even think of his name. He's so forgettable. Yeah, that's right. He's a nobody on a no network, yet he's getting paid to be on the radio. Hugh Hewitt. Mr. Hewitt, let me explain to you why the, and Michael Savage too, while I'm at it. Let me explain it to all you geniuses. If you're an atheist, the one thing you know is that you can't trust other people. And you certainly can't trust other people with guns. Atheists are terrified because they have no trust. You can't trust if you're an atheist. Your whole worldview has no foundation. It could all collapse at any moment. They could all turn on you at any second. Atheists are going to hell where people are going to be at each other's throats constantly all the time, hurting each other, stabbing each other in the back, lying to each other, brutalizing each other, taking advantage of each other. That's the atheist's mind is clouded by that. And so they can't trust their neighbors because they know they can't be trusted. And so they have gun-free zones because the last thing you can do is trust people with guns. What's the conservative solution? Well, let's have armed guards in every school. That's it. Let's create another massive government security infrastructure. We'll have metal detectors. We'll have cameras. We'll have an armed guard at every school. And we'll be able to give all those retired cops jobs. It'll be a jobs program, too, says... I heard Sean Hannity say that on his television show. Give all these retired cops jobs. All right, so our conservative... I wouldn't call them leaders. The conservatives we listen to the most don't understand the problem and offer foolish, short-sighted solutions. There is a solution to the problem of young men exploding and killing one another. And that is the institution of justice. Again, young people need to grow up knowing that if you kill somebody, you will be put to death. And for two generations now, they've grown up knowing that you can lie, cheat, steal, kill, rape, pillage, plunder, murder, and burn. And there's virtually no punishment. The solution to all of this is, number one, we have to trust God. We have to let him back into the government. We have to acknowledge him and his ways and his rules and his moral laws. And when man sheds another man's blood, by man, his blood must be shed. No, that's not what the conservatives or the liberals, they don't know the answer. Of course, this punk kills himself. Why? Well, because there's no stigma against suicide anymore. That's another thing the young people have been brought up to accept. And what is the response? They had a candlelight vigil. Yes, the Breitbart reports, the light from thousands of candles lit the darkness in Roseburg, Oregon. And student after student, after community leader, after politician, they all got up there on the stage as the candles lit and they burn. And one speaker said, this will make us better. Better, I tell you. It's going to make us better. Much of the evening consisted of people standing in silence holding candles when they should have been talking about God and the fate of their eternal souls, the destiny of their eternal souls. All right. But they didn't because, they don't do that anymore. At one point, people began to assemble lit candles to form the letters UCC in honor of Umpqua Community College. And they sniffled and cried and didn't know what to do and didn't understand. And they just asked why, and they lit their candles in a daze. All right. Now, I want to talk about Vladimir Putin. And what he's doing in Syria, of course. The New York Post, I got the headline, Obama has turned Putin into the world's most powerful leader. I think that's a bit of an overstatement. But he's certainly more powerful than Barry at the moment. Putin, yeah, what did he have? He spoke at the UN. Did you all see this? He used his speech to announce the formation of a broad international coalition similar to the anti-Hitler coalition. It could unite a broad range of forces to fight those who, just like the Nazis, so evil and hatred of mankind. And by the way, no one but President Bashar al-Assad's armed forces and the Kurd militia are fighting the Islamic State, but now Russia will join them. And everybody's freaking out. Okay, now I said somebody is going to step forward and crush this snake. And I think that if the Russians, by the way, if the Russians, the Syrians, the Kurds, and probably the Iraqis, they'll probably all join together. And it'll be over in a couple of months. They'll utterly destroy the Islamic State. And they'll be viewed by history as heroes. While Barry will be sitting at the White House appointing homosexuals to various cabinet posts and bureaucratic jobs, a military position. That's what he'll... I think Barry thinks he's more heroic for appointing transgendered pedophiles to high government office than Putin. Let's talk a little bit about this. All right. I watched Vladimir Putin on Charlie Rose. I watched Charlie Rose two shows. I have never watched a full Charlie Rose ever, never, not once ever. But I watched both one-hour broadcasts where he interviewed Putin. Charlie Rose genuflected like a teenage girl, asking Putin questions right out of Hollywood 411. You'd find him on the, right, the Hollywood Reporter. And it was embarrassing. At one point, Charlie Rose actually said, "Mr. Putin, people say you're a gangster. Is that true? Are you a gangster?" "Well, Mr. Rose, a gangster? No, that is impossible. I work for KGB. He said it with a smirk. He smirked right at Charlie Rose, and he dared Charlie Rose to question him. Charlie Rose moved on immediately after he changed his shorts. Anyway, it was sad to watch Charlie Rose basically being schooled in how to do an interview by Vladimir Putin. It was sad. You know, I think that civilization has devolved to the point that we could all fall into the hands of the likes of Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. I think we've fallen that far. God help us all. God help us all. But I think, is there anything? Anyway, it's not 1975, okay? So the Cold War and all this, that Vladimir Putin is an out-of-control dictator and we need to be scared because he wants to spread communism, which is, that's just not true anymore, okay? There's a different set of facts on the ground. And frankly, I'm glad someone has decided to go in and stomp on the head of the snake. We've been bombing Syria for a year. How come we didn't wipe out their headquarters in Raqqa? Well, Putin did that this past week. He flattened it. So finally, anyway, I'm glad he's doing it, and I hope we're able to control him afterwards because he is kind of a scary guy. But anyway, Barry has let him out of his cage, and I suppose we should be worried. But I don't know. I'm more worried about what Barack Obama is doing and the Republicans. I'm worried about what they're doing. And I'm even more concerned with what the pastors, the preachers, the ministers, and the priests in this country are doing to their congregations. I think that's much more of a clear and present danger. It's a more existential threat than ISIS or Vladimir Putin. The fact that we're killing ourselves, we're defiling ourselves, we're diminishing ourselves. That's what I worry about more on a day-to-day basis. For example, reason number 997 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, Milwaukee police descended on the Barack Obama School of Career and Technical Education last Wednesday after getting calls that 30 to 40 students were involved in a massive brawl. Reason number 997, your kid might be involved in a massive brawl at the Barack Obama School of Career and Technical Education. A pregnant girl was transported to the hospital, and while en route, she kicked a paramedic who was also pregnant. According to data from the State Department of Public Instruction, the Barack Obama School scored 39.4 out of 100 points on a grading scale. Well, that's failure, by the way, maybe. Maybe that's not a failing grade anymore. 39 out of 100? No, that's a D. Because they tried. They get a D for effort. The Obama School had its worst score in reading achievement, which came in at 2.2 out of 50. I said 2.2, not 22. 2.2. So reason number 668, I believe, was that your kid will not get an education. And that goes along with the brawling and the kicking pregnant women and the being pregnant. One bright note for the Barack Obama School, it was used as a polling place for the 2012 election. So, So there. They got that going for them. All right, now, on to the justice file. Did I finish everything I wanted to say about Vladimir Putin and the end of the world and World War III? Oh, by the way, back in April, I just want another thing that I said that I think is bearing out and will be proven true, is back in April, when Saudi Arabia invaded Sudan and Iran sent their proxies to fight Saudi Arabia in Yemen. Sudan? Did I say Sudan? I meant Yemen. I said, this is the beginning of World War III. Mark my words, this will be noted by history as the beginning of World War III. Because it is that battle that has drawn in the Russians now to align with the Iranians against the Sunnis, which are supported from Saudi Arabia. It's all coalescing into a giant whirling vortex of hell and death and blood and destruction. That was the beginning of World War III, and the next act, the next stage is upon us. All right. Now, I said that the solution for the troubled young man problem in America was the death penalty and justice and teaching young kids that there is justice. And you probably think, well, Doug, how can that be that the death penalty, because we don't have the death penalty, we have young men who are exploding, that just, it's so disconnected, Doug. Are you sure you know what you're talking about? Well, the fact is, when the death penalty is administered, and not even the death penalty, but justice in general, when justice is effectively administered, it points to a standard. And the young people ask, what is the standard? Then we can tell them about God and right and wrong. And many of them will choose to have a relationship with the living God, to honor his son, Jesus Christ, and accept the free gift that Jesus offers of salvation. Many will. And the rest will at least be afraid enough of God. They'll have the fear of God in them. And they'll have a knowledge that there is a God. And so they'll either be afraid of him, or at least they'll have a foundation for rational thought. A life apart from God, especially from one's youth, has no foundation for any rationality, and that's why these young people go crazy and do crazy, horrible things. That's what I believe is happening. I bring that up only because we did have an execution in Georgia. Kelly Gesendiner was executed on Wednesday morning for killing of her husband, probably 20 years ago, 1997, 07, 18 years ago. Let's see here. And I wanted to say that the reason I brought this up is, number one, we're glad that she was finally executed. We wish it would have been more timely. We wish it would have been more public. We wish it would have been more painful, because that's important. But in her final statement, she apologized. She said she was sorry that she had persuaded her lover to kill her husband in 1997. So there's a chance that she repented. She said she was sorry. Well, if there's no punishment, how is there going to be repentance? And if there's no repentance, people's eternal souls will be lost. So that's why we have to teach. We have to teach the young people that there is justice, and that there is a God, and we need to point them to God. And we can't be ashamed of it. Who was it that cowed the Christians into shutting our mouths? Was it Lyndon Johnson? When he passed the regulation, given the tax benefit or tax exemption, right? Wasn't that Lyndon Johnson? And that is about the time, about the mid-60s, the Christians started shutting up. You know what I think it is more than that? I think that when the pastors and the preachers and the priests, when they decided that they were going to tolerate a certain level of sexual immorality and a certain level of criminality in their churches, a certain number of abortions, that's when we all started shutting our mouths, because our leaders failed. And because they were involved in that, the sexual immorality, the abortion, the thieving, the lying, the corruption. So when the church became corrupted, well, then the edifice of our civilization, the foundation of it, began to rot. And now the rot has gone all the way. It's gone all the way to the head. So it started in the feet that hold the nation up. And now the illness is in the head. And it may be incurable at this point. But where there is life, there is hope. And where there is hope, there's always the next time. And should the Lord tarry, we'll return about a week from now, and there will be a next time. Thank you for joining us this week. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, at American Right to Life, at TheologyOnline.com, and of course my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. He said as he looked at his extremely attractive audio engineer and pondered finishing that Goat House edition before dark. That's the goal, folks. We're going to finish that. Well, it's already dark. We're going to finish it before morning. That's the goal. All right. And I think that's it. So until next week, may the grace of God go with you and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.